Brooks Monaghan is the 27th year head coach of the 16-time conference champion Memphis women's soccer program. His Memphis women's soccer team ranked number 21 nationally, entering its 7 p.m. matchup tomorrow at home against Alabama. Brooks, kind enough to join us now. Coach, how you feeling ahead of this matchup with Alabama coming off, what, a 2-0 season opening win over Kennesaw State on Wednesday? Welcome, brother.
Yeah, man, as always, I appreciate you guys having me on. And, excited. It's going to be a tough game, tough challenge, but hopefully we're ready for it.
But, yeah, I'm sure he was going to ask, you always schedule tough. I mean, it's, you know, and we were just having the same conversation about Penny Hardaway and their non-conference schedule. Yours is always a juggernaut, Coach. That approach each and every year, and in terms of the way it gets you guys ready, you've done it again this year, it seems.
Yeah, no, we've hopefully. I haven't bit off more than I can chew, but, you know, the philosophy is, look, we play in a solid league, right, a solid conference, but you don't want to have to rely on the tournament. That's everybody's goal. So, you know, we feel like we've put a schedule together that if we can have a successful non-conference season, that it will put us in a good place.
You know, we were talking about, you know, we were setting up the show. We were, mentioning, hey, Brooks Monaghan is going to join us later today. And ahead of Brooks Monaghan was 27th year coach at the University of Memphis, Brooks Monaghan. What goes into that? What goes into being 27th year coach at Memphis, Brooks Monaghan?
Man, what goes into it is, guys, at the end of the day, it's crazy. I mean, it does seem like yesterday I was the young coach at Memphis, and now, like you said, 27 years. It's like, where does time go? But, you know, it's just passion, you know, just in, you know, if you're going to do something, you know, do it 110%. And, you know, I feel like I've done that. It hasn't always been perfect. I haven't always made the, you know, not like I haven't made mistakes, but just given everything you have and surrounding yourself with good people. And I feel like I've done that. And, you know, I think if you can do those two things, it doesn't guarantee success, but it gives you a good opportunity to have success. And, you know, obviously we've been fortunate to have a lot of that, and hopefully we can keep it going.
You know, you've obviously built a real tradition over there. You're the most successful program on campus. You have the most consistent NCAA tournament appearances of any or postseason appearances of any program over there on that campus. So I know that is obviously, like, you know, it's real. Like, Memphis women's soccer can win it all. Like, that is a realistic thing to say about them. But beyond that, is the most gratifying thing when you sit back and think about it, the fact that 27 years into this, and I don't know what it looked like when you took the job, but 27 years into this, you got a new stadium coming. Like, the fact that you were able to get the program to a place, a platform like where you've gotten it to, and obviously that's a testament to your girls and who you've brought in here over the years, but is that one of the more gratifying pieces of the time here? That, yeah, winning games and going to the tournament, all that is amazing, and it's what you want, but it's getting it to the platform that Memphis women's soccer clearly has reached at this point.
Yeah, you know, I was born and raised here. You know, you guys know I went to Christian Brothers High School. I went away to university, then transferred back here. So, man, I truly bleed blue. So it's pretty special to be able to do something in your hometown. And, you know, obviously the program was very young when I took over, so it was not where it is today. And, man, it's just been a lot of fun to be a part of this ride, and you know, to do the things that we've done. Again, man, it's I've been blessed to have you know, the right assistant coaches around me. I've been blessed with you know people like Ed Scott that, you know, have a choice. You know, we're not basketball or football, but have the choice to really support our program, and, you know, I'm very appreciative of that. But you know, it's special. And then, like you guys talk about the new stadium, and you know, it's you know, right now the plan is to break ground next month, and, you know, I just can't wait for that day you know, they call it the reveal, where you're sitting back as a coach and you see all the girls walk in there and to the locker room and the lounge and the, you know, the their faces. That's going to be a moment. You know, I know we've won a lot of championships, but that's going to be a moment that, you know, stands out to me for the rest of my life as one of the brighter moments. So really excited about that, you know, coming in the near future.
You know, we've learned from you over the years that while some of the faces might stay the same, especially as the women get older, each team is different. And so last year, you were the youngest team you had had. I remember just one senior. I think it's just one senior again this year, but obviously a more experienced group. We were just talking about Finley Lavin, and are we right that she's ranked top 10 in the country, that you've got three in that top 100 led by your lone senior in Finley Lavin? What, tell us what you like about this squad, and obviously Finley's right there among the top of those things.
Yeah, Finley is special. She's, you know, these are the preseason rankings that come out, and she's earned that for sure, and so have the other two. But, yeah, this team is, I mean, there's a lot of familiar faces that we had last year. And last year, you're right, it was the youngest squad that we ever had. So, you know, it's a similar squad. Obviously, we've added a few kids that we're really excited about. It's still early, but some kids that have, you know, some true group potential to hopefully help us. But, you know, it is nicer to have a little bit more experienced team, but you know, it doesn't guarantee anything, right? I mean, sometimes people think, oh, well, they did this last year. They're a year older. They're automatically going to do it. Look, man, sports, right? We've, you know, I don't want to turn this into a negative, but there's always curveballs. We've had two, you know, big players go down with season-ending injuries. You can't, you know, but you've got to be able to adapt, right? You have to be able to adapt. So every year, you guys nailed it, is a new year. Good start to the season. We've had some good exhibition games under our belt, and you know, I feel like we're in a pretty good place, you know, going into tomorrow. But it's one game at a time, one game at a time. And like we were talking earlier about this schedule, it's a beast. We're gonna have to continue to get better, hopefully stay healthy to give us a good chance to have a great season.
We're talking to Brooks Monaghan, of course, head coach, University of Memphis women's soccer. They take on Alabama tomorrow night, 7 o'clock on ESPN+. We had Ed Scott in here about 2 months ago, and he said that on that appearance and during that appearance that Memphis was doing the full rep share, which I believe makes them one of two known non-Power Four teams that are hitting that threshold. What does that mean for you? And I'm not asking you for a number, but does that mean good things for Brooks Monaghan and women's soccer?
Yeah, I mean, you know, guys, we all hear about, you know, the quarterback that's getting $5 million or the point guard that's getting $3 million. You know, I wish I was a quarterback or a point guard. I'm not going to lie, fellas. But no, it is affecting our sport. And like I said before, it's just I'm blessed to have the support you know, from our administrator, you know, Dr. Scott and stuff, because it does benefit us. You know, it's, you know, we're Memphis, right? We're not going to get as much as we never will get as much as maybe an Alabama or a Georgia or, you know, some of these schools, but they just sit around and complain about it, or you do the best with what you have. And, you know, in life, all we can do is really ask to be treated fair. And that's what we're, you know, the administration has done for me, and it's allowed us to compete. And so I'm very thankful for what we have, and we are well taken care of. And, you know, we feel like we're in a place that, you know, even though some may have more than us, we can still compete with the best.
Well, John and I were having the conversation. It speaks a ton to your recruiting chops. I'm looking at it now. Top drawer soccer, that we were talking about, that Finley Lavin ranking, where mm-hmm. she's number 9, the top 100. You got 3 in the top 100. John and I were saying, you can't do that if you're Memphis in basketball anymore. You can't get 3 top 100 guys if we're talking about a national ranking, coach. And you certainly can't do it in football. And so it, coach, I know it takes a village, and you've got a great, you know, assistant coaching staff and everything else, but you know, what you're pulling off, being able to get 3 top 100s or that level of talent to Memphis, clearly it's a bunch of hard work, but we've talked about it. You've developed pipelines. You've thought outside the box. And I guess you would say, this is what I have to do to keep it competitive.
No, you do. You do. I mean, you know, it's sports are sports. You know, they have these, everybody's ranked. You know, they have the rankings with soccer, and it's not easy for us to get a domestic kid that, you know, out of high school is ranked in the top 20. And so it's the same thing. Yeah. You know, we do take pride in being able to develop our players. We do take pride in, you know, I'll call it the culture we've created to keep our players here because, you know, guys, it's crazy. You know, it's you know, one of the hardest things in college athletics today is keeping kids at your school for 4 to 5 years, right? So, you know, there's so many things that go into it. But, you know, like you guys mentioned, you know, our philosophy is unturn every rock. And that's why we're, you know, gone to Canada, we've gone to Japan. And, you know, you just have to have that mentality. I mean, we're still in a world, as we know, in all sports, if we just do what the Alabamas of the world or the Georgias or the Floridas do, we can't expect the same results. You got to do something different. You know, you have to always think outside of the box and find your niche, you know, and that's, you know, that's part of it.
I'm just curious, Coach, what is the local sort of prep scene like for women's soccer, girls soccer around Memphis? Is it great? Is there a lot of opportunity here for you? I mean, like, I'm just curious what that scene looks like, you know, and sort of where it falls into, you know, you guys' recruiting priority.
Look, there has been some very good players come out of Memphis that have had great college careers. And, I mean, you know, let's go back to the Cindy Parlow, right? She's the president of U.S. soccer, yeah. Right? So there, you know, but, you know, Memphis isn't, you know, it's not, you know, or I shouldn't even say Memphis. I should say the state of Tennessee is not like a Texas or a California or a Florida and stuff like that. But, you know, we have two local kids on our team right now.
Yep.
You know, I don't think we'll ever be a fully local team, and that's no offense to any kid playing soccer out there. It's because guess what? Some of those locals, as a lot of kids want to do, they want to go away for school. Mm-hmm. But you know, we keep an eye on the local scene. There is some talent, you know, coming out of Memphis in the future. But we will always be, you know, a team probably from all over, not all over the U.S., but all over the world. And that's what works for us, and that's what we feel we need to do to put together the best product to be able to compete at the level we're competing at.
You're so loyal, Coach, and you mentioned it earlier. I'm curious, have you told us the story of when you transferred back? You mentioned it earlier, and when you did it, you know, my antenna went up. You mentioned it going off, but transferring back, was it a deal where you just couldn't stay away from home?
Well, I mean, you know, I always make a joke. I miss my mom, you know, and I have to give credit to mama. But no, I did. I did. I wanted to experience going away from home. I was always from there. I obviously missed home. Yep. You know, there were some other things that came into play. And, you know, there were quite a few guys that I played club in high school with that went to Memphis. So, you know, that was exciting to come back to
Made
play
it easier.
For them. And look, you guys know, I mean, through you have success in, you know, in sports, other opportunities become available. But, I told you guys, man, I bleed blue, and I'm going to go back to, you know, all you can ask is to be treated fair in life. And I've had administrators that have treated me fair and made it extremely easy to stay in my hometown and do what we're doing. So, you know, I'm very appreciative for this opportunity. I don't think there's a lot of coaches out there that, you know, have a career as long as I have had, you know, in their hometown. So I'm blessed with that.
Well, it's always great to catch up as the season gets underway, Coach, and we're rooting for you, and best of luck this week and best of luck this season. Thanks
City
so much
program.
For the time.
Blessed to have you, Coach. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all. Take care.
Yes, sir.
A pleasure.
That's Brooks Monaghan. Always enjoy catching up with him. Just a brilliant program he is running over there with Memphis Women's Soccer. And it's just kind of like you set it and forget it. Like, it's going to be a top 25 team every year. They're going to go to the NCAA tournament. They're going to win a game. Like, it's nice.
Yeah, let's get the ground broken on that new stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it feels like we've been waiting on that now last year or so. And you could hear the excitement in his voice, man.
Yep.
I know you've been there 27 years and you've built this program. You could hear it. He's the moment those women see it.
Yes.
Is the moment he's been thinking about it. And again, what it represents in terms of your timeline as a program, what you've built it to.
Absolutely.
Want to see that, you know, see that for him.
Absolutely.
And for those young women. So all coming together, 7 o'clock tomorrow night against Alabama, Memphis women's soccer. 16-time conference champions.
That's amazing.
It is.
And I was looking at like what they've, I mean, they've won a, they've
been 27 years, 16-time conference champions.
I mean, if you look at like this, their success, like they've been to the tournament, I believe, six out of the last 7 years or seven of the last eight, something like that. Mm-hmm. They've won a game at least in the tournament. They've been to the quote unquote, haven't they been to the Sweet 16?
Yeah.
I believe they have.
Yeah, I was trying to get to the Elite Eight, yeah. I thought a couple of years ago.
They lost to Arkansas, maybe. Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a program that legitimately is the most successful on campus and probably has the least amount of money, you know, relative to everybody else. So,
and is able to, it sounded like from what he said, develop its players into top 100 level players as opposed to we're going out and beating off the power fours to get the highest rated high school athlete. You know, they're developing theirs.
Yes.
After going, you know, outside the box to go get them. And yeah, to have Finley Lavin number 9 in the country. Like he mentioned, though, he's got two. Kitagawa was top 100, and so was his goalie.
That's pretty amazing, man. Pretty amazing what they're doing. Appreciate Brooks Monaghan for joining us on the show. All right, we'll come back. Anthony Stain is going to join us next hour. We'll talk to him about the Memphis Grizzlies schedule, Ja Morant, Demetrius Jamal Morant, what he's looking forward to on the schedule, the 8-game homestand. Many people saying they've never seen a homestand like this ever in the history of time.
Well, they're also saying and joking that Ja won't be playing. And some aren't joking. Some are
being serious.
Yeah, really making that prediction.
Yeah, so.
By February, he'll be out.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. So, anyway, a lot more to come here on the show. Don't miss it. J&J, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
Joe Theismann is a Memphian. He is.
We're going to play the whole thing.
Yeah, we're going to play the whole thing. Why not, right? It is that time of the year.
Guests appear on the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike studio lines. Now, back to the J&J Show, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union champion your story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Joe Theismann is a Memphian.
We're
going to
play the whole thing.
Yeah, we're going to play the whole thing. Why not, right? It is that time of the year.
We're going to bring Joe Theismann on to this one. Let that thing rock.
He will never come back on again.
No, he will.
You lucky he didn't explode on you. You really are. He went with the flow that day. Joe was a pro.
That's it. It's that time of year. It's Notre Dame football, man.
The dismount is the fun part.
Yeah.
Man, y'all be putting Joe. Me. I'm sorry, Joe. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My producer played the Notre Dame fight song.
Sorry.
Obviously, maybe he's having a Jaden Daniels type divorce from Notre Dame or something.
Bro, it's his song.
It's your song, Joe. Play that ish. Anyway, welcome back, J&J, 90 FM, ESPN. I don't know. I don't know if Joe is having a thing with Notre Dame, but we know that Jaden Daniels is in a current blood feud with LSU, and the latest turn we got yesterday was that DJ Pickett, who of course is wearing the number 5, says he ain't got no plans to change out of that 5. I don't give a damn what Jaden Daniels says or what cease and desist letters he sends to LSU. He says, I've worn that number my whole life since I was 4 years old. It's the number I was promised. I wish Jaden the best, good player, and he did real good here, so that's all. So there you go. You got a problem on your hands, LSU, because do you want to keep DJ Pickett, who was a freshman All-America last season? Obviously, you do. He led LSU last year with 3 picks, had 37 tackles and a sack. And his dad told The Advocate on Thursday, honestly, man, this right here makes us want to wear the number more. LSU has not said anything to us about the number, about us being able to wear the number. Coach has been in full support of my son throughout this process. It's not really pertaining to my son, but he's been put in the middle of something that has nothing to do with him. My boy's been wearing number 5 his whole life. So we're not letting go of that 5.
Good for them.
But can we mend the relationship with Jaden Daniels, or is it just over?
I don't know if that's the that's a if a question that we're going to have answered or not. Again, I would ask, is this Jaden Daniels? Is it his mom? Is it worth it at this point, the headlines that it's becoming? I'm sure initially Jaden Daniels never intended for it to get to this point. So the fact that we're talking about it, the fact that it's a story, is stupid. It absolutely is. And at some point, you would figure cooler heads would prevail here. Like, now you're doing damage on Jaden Daniels' side. Now, I'm interested. Is he trusting his mother to just take care of the business of Jaden Daniels? Mm-hmm. And of course, you're aligned with mom. Well, now your name is being kind of dragged here in terms of, I mean, we even talked about it yesterday. You're affecting college kids. You're LSU. Like, you're in your third NFL season. What? Why do you care so much about that? Is it really just about name, image, and likeness? Is this so? I would ask, is this still worth being aligned with your business manager, mom, whatever's going on, if indeed that's the case here? Because I just think the stink, is it worth it at this point, whether for Pickett, for whatever else. You fired them up by making this a story. There was no question it was going to head this way, LSU and everything else. Kiffin's, it's the old staff that's at fault. And yet we're pitting Jaden versus LSU now. It's ridiculous. With maybe mom is the reason this is happening. So I think the whole story is stupid. I can't believe, you know, that we're talking about it. Realize why, because it's the top story at ESPN right now. But the fact that we're on this and not on the business of LSU, its season this year, Lane Kiffin's first, or Jaden Daniels going to year three, is ridiculous. The people that have decided to make this the story, it's crazy.
Yeah, no, you're right. It is. And it's probably a function of the calendar as well. That, you know, if this was happening a month later where we have NFL and college football games, it probably becomes less a story, and yeah, we just kind of don't have much oxygen for it. But because it's happening at it's still a pretty dead time in sports, it's definitely going to be more of a headline.
Yeah, I don't – like, LSU doesn't need Jaden Daniels to be successful to be able to recruit at the highest level.
Right.
And frankly, I don't know why Jaden Daniels is so connected to this five never being worn again.
Right.
When we've just discussed that Joe Burrow's number is not retired.
Right.
Why are you different? You know, Joe won a Heisman too.
And he won an Natty.
Why are you different? Again, is this you? Is it mom? What is it, your business manager? Just, it seems like bad business at this point, because yep, what's happening now is your name's being drug through the mug here. You're getting a bad opinion. Folks are turning a bad opinion of you. And so I don't know that it's the juice is worth the squeeze.
No, here, I agree.
And that he realizes what he's sort of, this Pandora's box he's opened. Why make an enemy of LSU?
Yeah, I agree.
And that's what you're doing in drawing this line. They're not going to stand down. No, they're standing up.
Yep.
Because this was not this current coaching staff.
Right.
I mean, Kiffin's got no reason to stand down, and the kid's been promised it. So
yeah,
if I were Jaden, I think it's better business to stand down at this point, but maybe mom's.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where
he's given her the control.
Yeah.
On this.
One of the things we've talked about before is we kind of hate the fact that Keith Lee and Memphis, I don't know if it's like a bitter thing like this, but it's obviously not warm and fuzzy for whatever reason, right? So it's just one of those things where it's like you hate when program icons, program greats, mm-hmm, don't for whatever reason have a, and I think a lot of that comes in, maybe they think, like Jaden Daniels, for example, thinks, well, my number should be untouchable, right? His claim is that LSU told him that it would be. So, you know, and then LSU, on the other hand, goes out and promises. So I'm sure there, along the chain of command, there was just a breakdown in communication. That's not really hard to understand at all. But now here we are. It's like, brother, you're a grown-ass man. You know, I go back to, I made this point this week with CDR. He wants the next generation to wear his number. He said that with us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want the next CDR to wear it if he wants to wear it. You know, it's not like it's going to bother me or insult me or make my legacy any less important than what it was at the University of Memphis. So, you know, I tend to look at it like that. You know, I've never worn a number. I don't expect 92.9 to retire my microphone.
Yeah.
You know, Gabe uses my seat every day.
I thought he sat on this side. Excuse me.
Well, he does sit on that side, but he uses the seat that I sit in.
The actual chair.
Right?
Itself, yeah.
I think that's who it is. I think that's – I don't know if it's Jeffrey or maybe it's Jeffrey. But like, I don't go to Brad and say, why are you letting Gabe or Jeffrey sit in my seat?
Well, because – I mean, you work here 3 hours. Well, so it's not like your seat.
Well, you know? I mean, in my opinion, it's my seat. You know, it's my legacy.
Oh, okay. You know? Yeah, well, you probably need to come off that horse too.
Yeah, so it's like – but I don't make it a big deal.
Hmm.
Because I know that it's bigger than me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's real team guy.
Share the seat.
Right.
Share the legacy, each one teach one type of thing. Maybe if, you know, someone uses this seat, a little bit of the greatness can brush off, right? That's kind of how I look at it. So I think Jaden Daniels should take that same approach, but he has not taken that approach at all.
Maybe it's just him wanting to trust his business manager slash mom in doing her job, the job that he has hired her to do, if that's the dynamic.
Mm.
Because, but again, I would say you're the one making the decisions. Ultimately, she works for you. You have to understand your name is being dragged here. This is not good business. And so if it's a deal like that where you're just, you're staying in it because, heck, you've employed her, you trust her, you want to, you've given her a job, bro, you've got to cut the cord.
Right.
Because, again, it's not worth it. See, we're dragging his name.
Yep.
But if this is a decision that his people are making for him, that's where, brother, you got to yeah. take it by the horns.
Yeah.
That could be happening as well.
Yeah.
Where Jaden really, probably likes the kid, whatever else. But to your point, because they got promised by Brian Kelly.
Or the AD number would never whoever, be worn, yeah.
or the AD who ain't whatever. They've switched ADs, they've changed everything else.
Yeah, but I think you're right. I think it was
somebody
Brian Kelly.
Is stuck on that yeah. when they shouldn't be.
Right.
You know who has that? The Michael Jordans, the freaking Tom Brady's, bro, the GOATs.
Yep.
That have gone on. Those are the ones that can say and have that right to say, you know, you shouldn't wear my number, whatever else. It shouldn't be Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
And I just have this feeling that it's probably not that it's his people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know we've had one. Listener who says mom's involved here.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, brother, you're in your third year of the NFL. Like, we got other things to...
I think he's a good dude, but he's getting...
Yeah.
He's getting bad advice here, or he's caught up on his own in ego, one yeah. way or the other. It's one or the other.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, again, it's... I don't blame the kid. I don't blame the parents for wanting to wear the number. I mean, I think by and large, it's super silly, and it does also make me appreciate, like, Cam Boozer. Like, Cam Boozer came in here as a rookie, and he's wearing 27. Like, he could wear 12.
It's the number he's had all his life.
Yeah.
He could have put up a real stink about it.
Yeah, like, he doesn't give a damn. He's like, I'm here to play basketball. Like, maybe he'll go back to 12.
My guess is he will.
You know, but he's not, like, making a big stink about it.
No, I love it because, you could have, some would have taken this, man, they're slamming the door quick on Ja, throwing that 12 on Boozer already. I would have just said, well, it's great timing. But some would have done it. You just totally dismissed that with this. By wearing 27, your mom's number, whatever else, it's
right.
also going to be the rookie year you come in, basically, 26, 27
right,
season.
Right, right, right.
You're going to be a 27, got a 27, what, a rookie sophomore game. You're going to be a part. It's you put that to bed for a year. You don't even touch it. You don't even let anybody say that about you so that everybody's on the same page about this young man, who my guess is will switch to 12 next year.
Yeah, yeah. But again, there's obviously multiple ways you can handle it. And, Cam Boozer's handling it one way. Jaden Daniels is handling another. And, Ja's not even 12 anymore in Portland, right? He's number one.
Yeah. Cause LaMarcus Aldridge, yeah. 12 is getting retired.
Yeah. I mean, so obviously it's a little different cause the number got retired, but I mean,
well, it's not retired. I think there are plans to.
Right. Plans 12, to retire. Yes. Yeah. But he's just like, listen, I mean, even Ja's like, I'm new number. Like, you know, people change numbers all the time. I mean, Jordan changed number. LeBron changed his number. Do we know what – is LeBron going to be 6 in Philly? Do we know?
I have no idea.
Or is 6 retired now because of Bill Russell, league-wide? I can't remember what the deal is there. But
you don't know numbers are not my thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I get it because it's stupid. It's like it's
it says
not,
the internet's saying 23 when I did an AI Google.
Yeah, I think Bill Russell's number 6 is retired.
Yeah, Dr. Irving permanently retired. The Sixers permanently retired Julius Irving with his 6.
Yeah, yeah, and exactly.
LeBron's gonna wear 23.
Yeah,
yeah,
is what we're
23.
Saying.
He's gonna follow Michael Jordan.
Oh, well, that's what he's always done. Isn't it?
It followed him. Being the key operative word, brother.
Yeah, Dr. J wore 32 and 6. Obviously, 6 retired because of Bill Russell.
Russell.
You and I just did that John Mike Miller thing, brother, brother.
Yes.
Okay,
brother.
Right,
coach.
Brother.
Hey,
we
coach.
Just did it.
Brother.
Right, coach.
You got it, brother.
No.
All right, brother.
No.
We just did it.
Sorry.
We just
I'm
did
sorry.
It. It was a great impression,
no,
I thought.
You gotta,
I've been listening to it on the promo.
You're going to have to do something about that promo, Brad, all
which
right?
Which one?
The brother.
Thank you, brother. All right, brother.
You don't like that? I'll have to get on
no, it. No, I think it's great.
No, it's just... It's
I,
just
think it's, I think you should keep playing.
And it was only about...
We just
we've
did
got
it.
A stud on the air. It was no, the point it, of the promo.
No,
it,
yeah.
Exactly.
No,
it's a great promo. It's great guests all over with all of the hosts is the point.
You're stuck on the brother to brother.
Because it's like the sign-off is, thanks for coming in, brother. He says, all right, brother. And it makes me think about this. It makes me think about the L.A. Knight promo. You don't watch wrestling anymore, but the L.A. Knight is this, you know, up-and-coming guy, and he's doing a promo with Seth Rollins about him and Roman Reigns, right? Mm-hmm. And this was like 3 weeks ago, and he's like, maybe we'll go get haircuts, brother. Maybe we'll get the same haircut, brother. Maybe we'll go get our beards cut the same way, brother.
Yep.
Brother, brother. Like, that's just what I think about when that damn promo plays, me and Mike. Brother, brother.
Let it ride.
That's how you frame it, bro.
Let it ride.
All right, brother. Oh, mm-hmm. Man. Anyway, what it doesn't matter what your number is, but we know that five is going to be worn at LSU by DJ Pickett.
I love it.
Do you think it adds pressure to the kid?
He's a DB.
Right. He's going to have pressure no matter what. Every play. Doesn't matter if he's wearing 5, 69.
He's not a quarterback with a ball in his hands that can, you know, he's going to take this pressure and throw three picks. He's a DB. He's either going to intercept the ball, or he's going to get the tackle, or he's not going to make a play, and we're going to move on to the next thing.
All right.
So that's the pressure of a DB. Yeah, he might get beat on one, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, think about your Bears, how desperate need they are of a good DB who can stay healthy and to move on past the era of Kyler Gordon.
Good safety would be nice.
Yeah. Who is y'all? Is it Jalen Johnson?
Well, don't forget we drafted one from Oregon, brother. His name's Thieneman. Pretty fast.
That's right, white dude.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. But Byard's out, and our guy Kobe Bryant from Seattle, the other safety we brought in, yes, is now basically out for the season. So
on that news, I saw that Terrion Arnold signed with the Seahawks.
Right?
Yep.
What do you feel like that's blown over yet? I guess they do.
Well, I don't
think it's blown over.
I don't think they think that. I think they're just taking the chance on the off chance that it is, but
just like the folks going in on the portal that we're hoping that they get an injunction.
That was a big part of Tuesday's Hard Knocks because they brought him in and let him do drills and they looked at him and was the drama.
You don't need to see him do drills. I mean, dude is awesome.
They were interviewing him and like trying to make sure everything is cool.
I'm hearing some folks that are enjoying Hard Knocks.
I've enjoyed it.
Shouldn't be so hard on you for still watching.
I appreciate that. I mean, there's got to be one or two of us out there.
Yeah. I said McDonald's really making the coach.
He's a sharp kid.
You like him too?
Yeah, he's a sharp guy. He's only 39 years old. He's a young dude. Yeah, he is. He's an impressive cat. That whole organization is. The other cool thing is I've never been in the Northwest like Washington. The views where their setup is, it's right on the bay. Like it's visually stunning.
He is the former Baltimore DC.
Yes.
Yep. He's a wizard.
Is it fair to say Baltimore's defense hadn't been the same since he left?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. And then they just hired, the Ravens now have, I think they hired the Chargers DC. They went defensive again with the head coach. But
so is he the defensive Ben Johnson?
You could argue
that.
I mean, he's already got a freaking Super Bowl.
Right, he's ahead of Ben Johnson.
I'm just saying, he's the genius on that side leader.
There's no doubt.
Tell me how young he is. He's early 30s, you said? Man.
I think he's 39.
Okay, that's young. That's young. He's not as young as Ben Johnson, but like, he's already got 39. A Super Bowl, and he was established as the defensive coordinator for so long.
Yep.
Yep.
Maybe I got to jump back in, because everybody's telling me how good he is, mm-hmm. and watching him work is interesting. Is interesting.
And the GM's a little he's a little fiery, mm-hmm. you know, that GM they've got.
Schneider.
Yeah, like he's a shot maker. Like he tries to take shots. Thus the move with Detroit's guy, you know, that just got popped. They're out there.
Yeah, but there's no world where he's playing this year, though. That's the thing. I mean, even if he gets off the criminal charges, he's going to get suspended by the NFL.
I would think so.
I mean, there's just no way. And that's assuming like he gets off of the criminal charges, which he's got 8 felony charges.
Felonies, yeah.
I mean, maybe you plead some of those down, but you know, I mean, I'm assuming he'll have the best representation money can buy, but I don't suspect that
it will be unbelievable though.
But yeah, I mean, even if it's a 2027 thing,
yeah,
it's worth it.
Yep.
You know, because he's only 23 years old, and you're getting him probably for nothing. I would assume. I don't know if we had contract details. I don't know how that all shakes out. It was just a 1-year deal. So that's all it is. So it's not even a 2-year thing. So they're clearly hoping that he won't get suspended,
or if he does, it'll be an 8-game thing. Or I don't know what the precedent is for stuff like this. I just know the NFL, it feels like, always takes these opportunities to pound guys,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they get in. We don't see a lot of stories like this anymore, but
no.
for a long time it was so bad that the NFL just had to come. I mean, what didn't Ray Rice get a whole season?
Yeah.
He got banned, didn't he?
You know, it was okay.
Well, he got an opportunity to come back. Nobody wanted him at that
point.
Right,
he was damaged.
So eventually, it wasn't an all-time ban. Basically, but I think I want to say John's right that maybe it was close to.
So what happened was he got a 2-game suspension in 2014, and then the elevator footage came out.
I was gonna say, the 2-game,
and then the league changed his penalty to an indefinite suspension, which an arbitrator later overturned on appeal, but it effectively ended his career. So, you know, it wasn't necessarily like a. I mean, the elevator footage was so damning, right?
Brutal.
Like, you just remember, you'll never forget him beating the daylights out of that woman in the elevator. So, obviously, like, when that emerged, no NFL team was willing to, you know, to take a chance on him. But they didn't really need to suspend him because he suspended himself when that footage came out. It's just one of those things that took care of itself. But what did Rashee Rice get? Didn't Rashee Rice get, like, 6 games for the car deal? He got 6 for a multi. So I feel like there's, you know, 6, 8, 10. You know, this is 8 felony charges. I mean, how is he going to get less than 6? I mean, I can't imagine he does. So Seahawks, clearly it's a risk-free thing for them, but I would not expect Terrion Arnold to. Is that covered in Hard Knocks?
Yeah,
okay,
them bringing him in to the facility was part of this.
I mean, that's
I was surprised. I told Stacey, I'm like, why are they bringing this cat in?
Yeah, because that's something that in the previous iterations I would be worried they would not cover. They would not,
I'm surprised.
You know, because like that's a legal deal.
Somebody just messaged me to read the Jaden Daniels statement and how it is evidence that this is clearly like his business folks versus LSU as opposed to him. I'm just going to read. I've been locked in on training camp. And that's been my number one focus. I have a lot of gratitude for my time at LSU, and I'm proud of what my teammates and I accomplished there. Obviously, there are issues to be worked out between my team and LSU. And my hope is that it will get done privately. My sole personal focus is on Commanders football. I realize the business of football is unique, and I trust this can all be resolved. Bro, get a grip on your business. Because it's your business and your name. Again, this cements it for me. I appreciate the listener that said, go read that. But it was obviously listening closely to us because it does between my team and LSU get it worked out. I hope they get it worked out,
mm-hmm.
bro. Your team is representing you. You can squash this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm telling you, that's why I said Jaden doesn't strike me as the kind of dude that would be this caught up in it. In terms of, I can see the ego getting a little big, but not this big, bro. Go back your team up off of this.
Yeah.
Get out of the news cycle with this.
I see it on his Instagram now.
You see it? He put out his own statement.
Wild,
and this looks completely separate. And I appreciate the listener that pointed this out. Said, go read that. Because it does. It separates it kind of like we were talking about. Kind of like I was alluding to that if that's the case, man, this is, if again, he is trusting his business to be taken care of. Bro, this is your business. You need to take care of it yourself.
Yeah, you're right.
Because your name's getting dragged.
Yep. I'm good stuff.
Yep.
Yep. You could definitely tell there is a separation
between my team and LSU.
Yes. You know? Yes. Yeah. This is way more about his business side than mm-hmm. Which makes way more sense.
It does.
And they should stand down, and he should call them to stand down.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to
make the call
because it's just not whatever. It's not worth it.
You control your business.
Right.
This is bad advice.
Right. Because you know
it's not worth it.
In the end, someday you may want to go back. You know. You just might. You might want to go back, and you might want to be a part of it, and you might want to,
well, on
you
your
know,
terms, and
for
not
sure.
get no nasty looks
exactly
and all that,
right.
or have any
exactly
sort
right.
of, any like, sort of feelings towards you.
Yeah,
you shouldn't want that.
You just, yeah, like, I just truly feel like you may want to reserve that for yourself.
Yeah,
and
some dudes in that locker room that'll think you're a certain kind of way off this, but this ain't even you. This is your
right.
business,
that's
people.
That's right. It's not worth it.
It could be mom.
It is just not worth
just
it
chill.
Whatsoever. Just chill, man. Just chill. And so hopefully it will get worked out.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Anthony Singh going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to him about Grizz schedule, John Morant, NBA, and more. J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome into your Friday. Hope everybody's having a great day so far. Hope everybody's getting ready for a scorching hot weekend. Hopefully you get out there to support the FedEx St. Jude Championship. As you know, it's leaving in 2 years.
Support it while it's here.
That's unfortunately the lead.
And support St. Jude.
Obviously, going through Sunday, grounds ticket, get you food and drink, unlimited. Obviously, non-alcoholic beverages would be included in that. You're going to have to pay a little more for, you know, your alky.
You might see Brad out there tomorrow in a double-pocketed shirt.
Is it tomorrow, Brad?
Saturday. Yep, tomorrow's the day.
And you, bright and early?
Yeah, I'll try to get out there early, enjoy the if there is any dew on the course, and kind of take in that early.
Yeah, that dew.
It's like, where's Waldo? Where's Brad on the course?
With the double pockets. Yeah. Pulisic outfit.
Do you have your golf
Pochettino
fit?
Outfit.
Sorry, yeah, Pochettino. Yeah. Wrong cat. Yeah, the coach,
don't care about
not the player.
Wears.
Right. The coach with the double pocket.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do you wear that shirt out there? Should they really be looking
for
double pockets?
That's a little pockets? Hot. Okay, that's so. Why I don't understand why. And it's darker. You got to wear something light. Like today, I would wear this light shirt. Yeah.
Do you have your golf fit picked out?
No, I haven't gotten that far. But hat, light clothes, definitely shorts. Bird legs.
Going with the shorts. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Can I give you an FESJC update?
Please do.
Please.
Happy to do that.
Is an American leading?
No.
Dang.
No, a South Korean gentleman named Sungjae Im.
Yep, good job.
Is leading. He is 4-under today, 8-under for the tournament. Behind him, Sudarshan Yelamaraju.
I think it's really well done again, John.
That is a Canadian professional golfer.
It's not easy to try to read that name.
It's tough.
And then Jake Knapp, tied with him. Jake Poe Folks. Nap. Jake Knapp.
Yeah, we're not done at -6, are we? Is Adam Scott there, or is that not the latest? Do I have
the latest I've got is it's a two-way tie for second at 6-under.
You're ahead of me again.
And then in terms of some golfers that you may recognize, Jordan Spieth tied for 4th at 5-under on the day.
I got Adam Scott at -6
tournament,
as well,
I should say.
So let's put him up there.
Okay, well, you know.
I know. I think it's early for him.
Who is it?
Adam Scott at -6.
Adam Scott. I've got him at 5-under.
Okay.
I'm
not sure you're updated. I'm through 7. So.
Well, he birdied obviously 7. Yeah. So he is. I am behind
it's
on
unusual.
The Google leaderboard.
It's unusual.
Are you on
I'm
the official
of
site?
I'm on ESPN.
Okay. Well, ESPN has a more up to the minute.
Yes, they do. At least this
leaderboard
time.
Than I'm dealing with right now on Google. But obviously, this would just be a disaster for us if Sungjae Im wins the FESJC, as he is someone I have never heard of until this moment.
Well, you got Spieth still. He's going to be a little bit later on. What, 11-10?
Yep.
10
he's
off.
Going off. Thorbjørnsen, yesterday's leader?
Yes.
Thorbjørnsen.
Thorbjørnsen, yes.
Thorbjørnsen.
Smitty Werberman Jensen.
Michael.
Yes.
He's 11 o'clock. These were your leaders after yesterday.
Gotcha.
They're a little bit later on. So, and they were 5-under. So.
Yeah, apparently the 2026 FESJC presented by Rosetta Stone. Where it is only foreigners.
The toughest ones to pronounce are up at the top right now.
Yeah.
Because, again, the ones at the bottom, Matt McCarthy, Ben Griffin.
Right.
Rory McIlroy at the bottom at +4. He'll go off, of course, at 11:30 today.
Gosh.
After a terrible round yesterday.
Skipped 2 years in a row.
Yeah. Was it 2 years? Yeah, no, that's well done.
Yeah,
sorry that
good.
I'm not more of a
that's
golfer.
Good.
I would have caught on to that earlier.
Yeah.